get to come back and hear this gentleman share his thoughts with us, and that is our Dave Hamill.
Good evening. Thank you, Millie, and our FSC friends and honored guests. Pleasure to be here. Tonight I want to speak a little bit about my journey. It's the only thing I really feel qualified to kind of talk on. And talk a little bit about what, I guess we'd say, what's brought us all to this point in our lives. What's perfect about our lives and how we keep ourselves from experience life as perfect. To start off, there I know there's some new faces here, and I'd like to talk a little bit about what we believe, and certainly what I believe, which may be a little bit different from what the church believes, but it seems to work for me, and it seems to help me. And I was talking with, you know, I talk about the church at different times, and I was talking with a person, and when I was talking about the church, the immediate comeback was, oh, the dead are asleep, and they're to be left alone. And I thought, well, that's certainly not my experience, but perhaps that was their experience. And as Millie has said, you know, there's not just one-size-fits-all religion, because we all have all these different beliefs. And if that was perfect for that person, great. It doesn't work for me, because I was going like, well, gosh, it doesn't give you very much to look forward to. And I'm a big believer in looking forward in what's coming up. And so in my path, it's been interesting, and I try and see everything as perfect, because whatever's happening in my life, I'm the one that's brought it forward. And if I have something that I can't see as perfect, usually it means that I need to kind of back up a little bit and change my perspective and see that this is another lesson that's come forward for me. And when I take that perspective, that this is a lesson that I need to learn, or it's up there, I don't have to learn it, it'll keep coming back if I want to pass on it, but it just helps me to see the perfection in that moment. So as I keep looking and kind of stepping back from where I am in my life, I want all of you to kind of step back for a moment and look at how you got here tonight. How did this church get introduced to you? Because you are all here. You've created this. You've brought yourselves here. There's perfection in this moment of you all sitting here. And when we stop and really look at our lives as being perfect, then it gives a whole new dimension to this moment. And it's not just life. It's just not, oh, I got up today and I'm going to church tonight. There's a reason for all of us on our journey. And for myself, I just tend to kind of just let things blur by and go by, and I miss so much of what really life is here to help me learn. And when I stop and become intentional and say, oh, I'm here for this reason, so what am I going to do next to help bring that forth or move forward in my life, and I have this power of intention working, then my life changes and it takes on a whole different flavor. Millie tells us in class, we all picked our, what do we complain most about? Our bodies, our relationships. Guess what? We all chose our bodies before we came here. If you don't like your body, you've only got yourself to complain to. You picked your parents. If you guys, you know, get mad at mom and dad, or we all get mad at mom and dad once in a while, we're the ones that picked them. And there were relationships set up before we came down this time to help, for our parents to help us learn what it is that we picked as our major assignment for this walk on the earth plane. And mom and dad did a perfect job for us. As imperfect as we think it might have been and all the things they said or did that weren't right for us, they played out their part just perfectly. And when we see that, we can let go of a lot of our stuff and start concentrating on what it is that we really, why are we here on the earth plane this time? And so much of this, when we take a step into that, it's in stepping into responsibility. Because if we think that life happens to us, then we're in victim mode. Oh, this happened to me, that wasn't fair. You know, why did I walk out and have a flat tire? That's not right. Well, it's reality. And we talk about creating on our conscious plane. And I'm going to go home and think about what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's creating on a conscious plane. But there's a lot of creating that goes on our subconscious that we're not even aware of. And obviously, our subconscious has so much going on. It's growing our hair, for some of us, not me particularly. But our fingernails, our breathing, our blood, and so on and so forth. And then there's the superconscious, which is our soul level. And a lot of us are creating and have made decisions about what this life is going to be like from the superconscious. Because the soul knows that it is immortal. And that's who we really are. We're all eternal beings. This isn't just one walk on the earth plane, in my view. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we come down here one time? Why would a child be born or a baby be born and only live a couple days? It doesn't make sense to me. If there's a cycle of reincarnation, which we as spiritualists believe in, then we are coming here to learn a lot of lessons, and there's a lot of lessons for us to learn. And so the soul may choose to come down this time and have a debilitating disease. It might decide, you know, I'm going to have cerebral palsy and take that walk and see what's there for me to learn or perhaps balance out something else. Or this time I've had such a hard time before, I'm going to be wealthy and not, I'm going to have a piece of cake ride this time. But we don't know that consciously. Why would we ever choose to have cancer? Because the soul's immortal. It's eternal. It's not worried about cancer. That's just a disease of the body. And as Millie says so beautifully, she said, you know, when it's time to go, we're allowed to give up our physical when it no longer serves us. The cancer's never touched the immortal soul. And that soul is calling us forth and directing us if we'll listen. And that, for me, is the hardest part. Because I like to think. You know, we've had, I can't remember the philosopher that first said, I think, therefore I am. Had it completely backwards. That's not what it is. I am, therefore I think. Eckhart Tolle says, thinking should be classified with digestion and circulation. It's not something we can't do. We're always thinking. Just like we're digesting our food and pumping blood, blah, 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 going, going. And so much of our thinking just clouds us up. It clouds up that connection with the eternal us. Because the ego and our rational mind, which supports the ego, or make a great team, they're telling me why I can't do this. And as soon as the ego decides that I'm not good enough or I can't do that, rational mind will come in with just these amazing arguments why I can't. Not that they make a whole lot of sense, but it's there working hard with that ego, because the ego knows if I accept that, then it's employed. It will keep that job and will keep me playing small. It'll keep me from making my God self connection. And so that's what I do. Over and over. So when I stop and think, what is it that I'm doing in this moment that's keeping me apart from being love? Because that's what we are. That's who God is. God is always love. And on God's level, it makes unconditional love redundant. Because that is God, this always giving, always eternal love. That's who we are. We are this spark of God. So what do we do every day that keeps us from being that spark? We have all this thinking that keeps getting in the way of us being these bubbles of love, as Millie likes to call us. And this thinking that does this keeps us separated. And we all are one. We're all the same energy, the same love energy, and we don't see it. We think of this dualistic nature. There's me and everybody else. There's all these splits between us, and there isn't any when we get to that level. Over the years, I've meditated and had not what I'd call a great success at doing it, but there are great benefits to meditation. When we come into class, we're not here to meditate. We're here to get high and get our energy up and really get, you know, that energy flowing. And when we do that, it's not done through a whole lot of thinking. but it's done to say, yeah, I feel really good. I'm cheering for everybody else. And then you kind of rest in that energy to keep the level up. And with meditation, we try and get our minds quiet and to stop thought. Now, it's easier said than done because for me, I keep judging it. And there's what the Buddhists call monkey mind, when you're trying to be quiet and you're just running around over here and over there. And so I'll be quiet and I'm just sinking into that sacred garden that I have that I love to be in, and I sink down there and thought kind of stops and I'll be just going, yeah, this is great. And, you know, I think I'm gonna almost out of blueberries for my shake. But I've got enough bananas, but the apples, I need more apples. And Costco's got, but it's so far to Costco, Trader Joe's closer. Oh, yeah, meditating, yeah, okay. But I could go to the gym, and Costco's by the gym. And pretty soon I'm sitting there going like, what am I doing? You know, and I'm getting upset at myself. And somebody told me, they said, you know, in meditation, if you can gently release those thoughts when the thoughts come in and return back, that's okay. Well, I couldn't gently release them. I'm just going like, what am I doing? This is stupid. And I finally realized that whatever the experience of that meditation is exactly perfect and what I need to be experiencing right then. So if I can just be in that space and I've got monkey mind that day, then I've got monkey mind. One of the things that helped me tremendously was a CD, a meditation CD that I received. And in getting quiet, they ask you to close your eyes and scan your body. And as you scan your body and search it for these physical sensations, ask who is doing the scanning. What part of you is really doing that scanning? And if you can see that part of you that's doing the scanning as your observer, you can start to observe your observer. And as you observe your observer, you're now getting closer to that eternal part of you. That part that remembers your dreams, the part that remembers everything that goes on, that's always been, even though you can't remember these old other lifetimes because they'd kind of get in the way for this one, that observer is that eternal part of us. And when I can stop thought long enough and be in that space of looking at my observer, because I can look at that observer and I can feel the love that's there, I can feel intelligence with that observer, clarity and focus. And I've had two experiences where I could stop the thought long enough and be in that heart space with the observer, that what happened was in those moments, just love just started emanating out and filled me up. And it was the first time that I really had this feeling of self-love and this love that is God, that is part of each and every one of us. And it was such a wonderful feeling to sit and go like, wow, that's part of me. That's part of all of us. But I have all this thinking constantly during the day that gets in the way. I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. You're not this. You're not that. Oh, you're making me mad. I'm upset with you, or whatever it is. All this, yeah. When I can get back into that space and just have that quiet moment, it's amazing what happens in my world. I'm very lucky because I live on a boat down in the harbor, and there's nothing between the back of my boat where I have a chair set up. There's just the bay and then Coronado over there. And I love as the sun's going down and that golden light that the photographers love so much and the artists. And when I get in that moment where I can really stop thought and just be present, it's like my vision completely changes. Everything becomes alive, much enriched. And it's because I'm not judging it. I'm just being there in that moment. I'm being. that human being and being present to all that's there. And it's such a gift to be there. And as I keep reinforcing that with myself, during the other parts of my day, when I'm going along, I kind of stop and go, can I do that again? Can I stop my thought right now as I'm driving along and just be and see what life looks like? How it enhances this experience of just being? You know, it's the old joke about, are we human beings or are we human doings? And so often we're in that doing, 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 and that's part of life. There are things that we need to do. But we spend so much time in doing rather than in being. And in that beingness is who we really are. In class, we have spirit that comes and works with us. And when spirit comes to you, it's a whole nother experience of being a human being. That you're sharing it with another being, that's another spirit that's coming in to work through you. And all of a sudden your whole experience changes. And you know that this wonderful energy that's come to you, that there's more than just our experience of thinking. And so I keep coming back to this in my life. When I'm thinking and I'm out there in that world, in that space, it's not really enhancing my experience of life. It's really detracting. It's shutting me down. It's pushing this off to the side and going, oh yeah, I've got to do this or I've got to do that. And when I'm present to being more than just thinking, and that thinking kind of just goes off over here for a while, it's not polluting that connection with my higher self. And it's funny how often when I walk in the doors here, and I've spoken before about how we walk in these doors, and you can feel how often Millie says it, and we'll start off and she'll say, do you feel the love in the room? And we've all been present to it. And we kind of walk in here and we put that spiritual jacket on. It feels so good. Oh yeah, we're back in church. It feels really good. And tonight we all got to put those on and warm up to this energy that's here and the friendship and the fellowship that's here. And I got to walk in and put that jacket on, and then I got to put the speaker jacket on tonight, which is fun. I like that. And some of us got to come in and put our singer's jackets on. So what jacket do we wear during the day, through our hours? What are we doing? We go to work, and a lot of times we have to put work jackets on. And it's very hard to be focused and spiritual in this. One of the things that I realized that triggers me and keeps me away from being in this moment is the actions of other people. And George has this great line where he says, I'm only as good as my last book. And now it's a whole different thing, George. I just realized because you've written a book, so now you're only as good as the last book you've written. But he was talking about only the last book that he's read. And I was reading a Wayne Dyer book, and he talked about a Ken Keyes Jr. book called Handbook to Higher Consciousness. And so I happened to be walking upstairs to our magic little library upstairs, and sure enough, there's the Handbook to Higher Consciousness sitting there. And so I said, thank you to the angels, and I picked it up and took it home and read it. And the power that, in his theories of this, is that when we get triggered by somebody else doing something, it's them triggering our addiction to one of three things, either security, sensation, or power. So if somebody broke into your car and stole your stereo, it's violating your security because we all want to feel safe and secure. It might be violating your power addiction because you want to feel powerful and nobody can mess with me. And so addictions to alcohol, drugs, sex, food, those are all sensation addictions. So once we start looking at what triggers us, and when we get upset, if we can stop in that moment, which is the hard part, and go, what's going on here? Instead of just having this knee-jerk reaction and keep going with it. And we can stop in that moment and see what's being triggered here. Is it just one of three things, security, sensation, or power? And then we can look at it and say, oh, this is my addiction to whatever it is. And the way to get out of it is to look at that addiction and what you get from it and try and upgrade your addiction from an addiction to a preference. Well, my preference is to be secure and not be violated that way. But somebody broke into my car and took the stereo, and you know, fortunately they didn't break a window out or anything. They just took the stereo, and you know, I have enough money to get another stereo. It's not a big deal. Or you can go around for a week or 2 months or a year or whatever being upset about it and getting that connection with your eternal self more in disarray and not having that connection. And so when I feel those things going on again, I'm at that point in my life, and I never thought I'd be where I am today, believe me. I have that ability now to stop and step back and look at what's going on right now. And I couldn't tell you, most of you know what my journey's been for the last year. It's been very wacky, the things that have happened. But it's all been perfect for me to get to the point where I am so that I can appreciate my life, appreciate what's going on, appreciate the people in my life, and appreciate how much I still have to grow. And that there are going to be lifetimes after lifetimes after lifetimes of learning more and learning different tools, different things that will help me to grow and keep prospering as a soul. And when I look at my life from that perspective, then all this doesn't become so important. It's not so overwhelming and so great that I have to have this right now or I have to learn that. And I get to appreciate each and every one of you from a whole different viewpoint. That you bring richness to my life. That you cause my life to be just a beautiful thing. And it's so amazing that we're all here together. None of us are here by accident. And when you look at this fellowship that we have, what keeps drawing us back and back and back is this thought pattern is perfect for us. It works for us. Some of the new people may come and look at it and after a while go, you know, it's just not right for me, and that's fine. But for those of us that have been here for a while and keep coming back, we just see the beauty, the simplicity, and to me it just makes sense in this whole cosmic order. And I'd always been looking for sense because as a kid I was raised in the Methodist religion, and none of it ever made sense to me. It never was explained in a way that I said, how did you get from here over to there? I don't get that. And so it was perfect for me not to understand then because it caused me to question and want to know more. And as we're all here going through these lessons, going through Millie's classes, coming to Wednesday night, coming to Sunday, we're all bringing our essence in here to help each other and to support each other. And I just keep seeing the more and more how we are all in this together. We're not separate. We all play our parts in this. And we're all evolving into such beautiful, beautiful beings. And this lady over here is the one that keeps putting out this, makes this amazing space for us, that we can come in here and feel the way that we do. And to have this kind of love fest that goes on all the time. And I just am so amazed with her when she, in class, will say something or just get something for somebody that helps the whole thing kind of fall together for all of us and help us see what the lesson is. And I guess that's what's exciting about this is because in this, you know, if you look at religion, religion's been for 5,000 years, 3,000, 2,000, however long it been since it's been started. And you have your dogma, it's all set, the tenets are there, and that's the way it is. And in science, we keep testing, testing, testing. And when new facts come out, oh, we need to change this theory because we have new facts that says this or that, but religion doesn't do that. But this religion does, or our spiritual beliefs do, because as we learn more through working with spirits, we go, oh, that's what that's about. Now we see how that fits in. And when you have direct experience of spirit working with you, there's no arguing. There's nothing about that you need to believe other than what you've experienced. And you can run it through your God self and accept it or let it go. But there's experience there. And I think that's what was really missing for me for so many years. There was nothing experiential. People were just talking, believe this, believe that, believe this. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't make that jump. I just had nothing to grab onto. And so here, we feel the love that's in the room. We're in class, we feel spirit come work with us. Somebody tells you something from one of your loved ones who's passed, and you know that that's true, that that's them. Nobody else would ever know that. And it's like, okay, what's going on? That's that wonderful experience that we have, and that's what's so special, I think, about this church. And the fact is that when I came and Millie said, run this through your God self. We don't want any blind belief. Keep what, you know, resonates with you, what feels good, and let the rest of it go. And I was like, what kind of church is this? You have to have some real faith and power in your beliefs and what you're doing to say that. Normally it's here's our dogma, it's all wrapped up in the bow, this is what we believe this, or there's the door over there. And we have freedom to believe what we want and to expand in our own beliefs and have this wonderful experience of spirit. So look back in your life and see what has happened in your life that's brought you to this point, that's brought you to this church, that's brought you to the freedom of believing as however you do, and know that it's perfect, that God works through you, through each one of us, and that we have an amazing little place here. Thank you.
Talking from his heart, is that a good way? How'd that feel, Mom? Talking from his heart, huh? You know, we're not all kind of like, what I say, programmed. You say this and then people think that, and you say this and people think that. We're not trained speakers up here. We're just talking from our hearts. And I think that's where God is anyway, huh? What'd you say? Who's here for the very first time? First time people. Thank you, honey, for coming. You girls have all been on here before, huh? Please let Reese catch you when he comes.